years have gone by. I'm afraid you're mistaken.
You're listening to the Teach Me How podcast, a classic World of Darkness role-playing workshop with Nate and Bob. Brought to you by 25 years of Vampire the Masquerade and UtilityMuffinLabs.com. Welcome, everybody, to the very first episode of the Teach Me How podcast. Now, for those of you who do not back us on Patreon, you may not be aware that we put out these podcasts every couple of weeks, trying to be as educational as possible to impart some of our knowledge and understanding of the various White Wolf Onyx Path games back to people that support us. Well, it's December, and it's time for us to take a little break and enjoy the holidays with our loved ones and just let the books be for a month. And while we're doing that, we're going to be reissuing some of these earliest recordings of the Teach Me How podcast for the vast majority of you who have never heard them. Now, having said that, these are a couple of years old, and the sound quality might not be as great as you're used to, especially on Bob's end. Unfortunately, I don't have the original recordings of these. They were on a computer that took a crap, and I have not been able to retrieve them. However, I have done a little bit of post-production on these to try to make them sound as good as possible. Frankly, some of these are not quite up to snuff with today's episodes, but hopefully they're still enjoyable enough that you can get something out of them. If we get some good feedback, we might just continue to release these. There's a bunch. I think we're up to 30 episodes of them on our Patreon. If you like what you hear in these podcasts and you would like to hear more of the ones that we've published, let me know, because this is something we may start integrating into regular releases, at least until we're out of them. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy these podcasts. We hope that you gain some knowledge from them. You're going to find that we're very opinionated. Let us know if you have a difference of opinion. Give us feedback. Without further ado, let's get to the show.
We've always kind of like dabbled around with the concept of like teaching people how to play a thing.
Yep, I agree.
And Bob, you have kind of a history of being an educator, and that's cool, right? That's good, because you have the ability to kind of distill knowledge in a way that it'll be easy for people to understand. I do not have any history of being an educator, so I feel like I'm going to be taking a lot of cues from you on here until I get my stride, my tempo, as it were, because like,
sure.
For me as a storyteller, I'm more apt to sort of teach you in the moment. Right. And I would say I have a much more delicate hand as a storyteller at first. Right. I feel like as a storyteller, I'm more apt to be like, hey, are you sure you want to do this? Because this could happen. Right.
You're more of a one-to-one teacher.
Right. Right. Exactly. And if the player goes, oh yeah, I'm totally cool with that, well, then I teach a lesson. Right.
Right. Right.
And I teach a lesson in the fashion that, like, you know, when you talk about like the dad that lets the kid stick the penny in the light socket, you sure you want to do that? Okay. Be prepared for whatever comes. So I would say that that's kind of like my teaching style. Like I'll go, hey, here's an issue. Are you sure you want to do that? Okay. You want to do that? Well, now reap the reward or the peril from that. But you're more of a, you have a more of an educational background. So let's just talk about what we're doing. What is this podcast even about?
So basically what this podcast is, it's a workshop that you and I are facilitating, right?
Right.
Because it's one-sided, and that's what it is to do a workshop. We're going to give you some material. We're going to give you some steps. We're going to kind of talk you through what those mean. But really, it's up to you to work what we show, what we talk about.
Right.
And that's what it is. So this requires a bit of a verbal contract, because we're all adults, right? That's
right.
The goal. So as adults, we will not extrapolate extravagantly, meaning we are not trying to go so far into the pale as to needing a romance book to figure out some of the terminology we're using.
Right.
You know, we're going to be on the nose, direct with what this stuff means, and then maybe cite an example or two to make sure it sticks.
Right.
And that's the commitment from us. We're just going to try to mold it for you. However, we're also going to challenge you to come with an empty cup.
Right.
And if you don't know what that phrase means, it literally says come with no expectation. Meaning as you're listening right now, everything you've learned, everything you know, kind of dump it out.
Right.
You won't forget it, but if you listen in bias, you're only going to hear what you want to hear.
Right. And if at the end of the day, you don't like what we have to say, great. Like, right. do it yourself. This is, you know, in our normal Vampire the Masquerade podcast, we go, hey, everybody has a right way and a wrong way to do things, right? Everybody can do it the way that they want, because that's very true. This isn't that. This is us telling you, this is our perspective. This is our experience. This is how we would expect a player who's knowledgeable to role play this. And this is what we know about it, right? This isn't really up for debate. It's for us to go, this is the sum of our knowledge, take it or leave it. We're not looking to, you know, pad your experience. We're looking to give you hard and fast understandings of what this game is and what these, whatever it is that we voted on. Today it's the Sabbat, tomorrow could be the Camarilla, you know, next Tuesday it could be the Prince of the City. We're giving you our knowledge. Here it is. Digest it, use it, or don't. That's as open and honest as I can be. We care about this game. We're very passionate about it. This is the sum of that knowledge.
Fair enough. Today we're talking about Teach Me How to Be Sabbat. Mm-hmm. That's what this is. And we have to start at the beginning, right?
Right.
I think everything should be that. And this goes before the concept alone.
Right.
And the Sabbat, a misconception is that we just build a monster and we're good to go to play Sabbat.
We're a monster. Right.
Right. And then you miss a step, right? And that step is who the hell were you before that?
Right.
Which, because that's basically the... Not even basically, that's the basic ingredients for making a cake.
Right.
You know, that's where you start. So to that end, to give an example, and we'll start with an example, Nate. You know, I'll throw out a standard and you kind of take it to the next step and
sure.
we'll exchange and go from there.
Sure.
So I like to go with the commons, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go with your typical shovel head, right? That's how we're going to get there.
Okay.
But who I'm going to be is we'll make it a little challenging for us to dictate. And we'll say that I am a policeman.
Right.
I'm an off-duty cop that from a bar got picked up by a random pack of Sabbat members, drugged to the cemetery for some crazy ritual where they've beaten me, they fanged me, they've drained me, and they've thrown me in the ground.
Right.
Right. And that's where I'm stewing at. But we understand what type of cop was I. You know, why was I at that bar in particular? Why'd they choose that bar? Do I know those answers at all?
Right.
And for me, yes. To make it real quick, the concept of the police officer gives me a predetermined set of skills that you could see based on what type of cop I was. And I'm sticking with a beat cop.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
Means I'm going to be of decent health. I'm going to have, you know, probably above average health in that regard.
Right.
I'm going to have some basic hand-to-hand training. I'm going to have some, I'd say a little better than basic these days.
Right.
Definitely above average marksman shooting, because I got to be able to know how to take down someone without killing them. And we'll say,
right.
What's it?
I said, hopefully.
Hopefully. Right. And we'll say I have a good head for law.
Right.
Like, you know, fresh out the academy, I should have an idea of what to do and not to do, at least to start with.
Right.
And you, so it kind of gives me.
You have a basic concept. You have a college education, you know, may not be like, you know, you may not be a, you know, master's graduate or something like that. But yeah, you have a basic understanding of law. You have a basic understanding of a couple of other things too, probably, right? When you say like you might have an eye for the street, you know, you can pick up gang signs, you know, maybe when someone's dealing drugs, you know what to look for, right?
So we're directing this guy straight into, you know, he's working to be a drug enforcement officer.
Could be, you know,
that's where that is, right? And that's, and we'd say that because your average police officer knows how to spot a suspicious person,
right?
Usually. But if you're going to go for that specialist officer training, absolutely.
Right. Well, here's a deeper question, a deeper, more fundamental question. Are you a city cop, right? And are you a cop from like a corrupt city? Are you a suburban beat cop who's working for a little extra money on the weekends, being a door guard or something? These are all questions you need to ask yourself, right? Because what is a cop? A cop is fundamentally a human being, right? And every human being has a unique story. You know, we're all little snowflakes, right?
So, there you go.
So these are things that you need to be thinking about in before you ever even go, man, I want to play a Bruja, right? To me, the fundamental key thing that most people miss when they're making characters, whether they're Sabbat characters, whether they're Camarilla characters, is a story for a human being, right?
Right.
because that story is going to help you to mold the character when you eventually become the Bruja anti-tribute cop that fucks people up. You know, you, how did you get there?
And what I like to do with this is, like, you know, now we have that template, we kind of walk through the character sheet, right?
Right.
We kind of put out what the dots are going to say about this guy, you know? And you have that build, whatever combo you make it, everybody has their own method, mm-hmm. but you got the general idea.
Right.
Background wise, your typical stereotypical police officer has a steady Eddie girlfriend or probably a fiance who understands him, be an upstanding member of the community. Cause usually these are military guys who come out and get jumped through the academy and are ready to go. Or they're an alderman's specialty nephew who's, right, you know, we bred him to have this job, and, you know, however it works out, there he is.
Right.
And so knowing that, definitely family oriented, definitely community oriented, you know, there's some morality that has to be hardwired into a police officer to have him be there.
Right.
To know what they're doing. So
sure.
We'll assume that. What's that do? It gives you your base humanity, doesn't it?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it tells you what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable pre-embrace.
And the relevance is that, okay, think about it now. Now I'm a shovel head at the bottom of this pile, drained of blood.
Right.
And, you know, I smell something I've never smelled before. My God, what else can it be than the other bodies that are probably piled on top of me? Some are still squirming, some aren't. Because a typical shovel head mix is going to be a few mortals in with the drained vampires.
Right.
You know, and they're going to battle. I'm literally going to lose my shit coming up.
Right.
And I'm going to try to take out someone so I can feed and then push past them to be the one to get to the top.
Right. And what is this going to do to you as you are as you're going through the process, as you're going through this terrible ritual, and you have to literally murder in order to survive? How is that going to change you and change your perceptions of what, you know, what the world is around you?
And off the bat, I would open the book and look at the humanity chart, mm-hmm. right? Odds are I'm starting at a 7.
Right.
That's probably where I'm going to be at. And then look at that 7, what's a do and don't? The very thought of theft drops you to a 6.
Right.
Or it's at risk of it. I'm going to have to kill someone. So that puts me at a 5. You know, I have to make that acceptable. And at a 5, I'm going to do a roll.
Right.
Because I'm probably going to kill, I am killing this guy. I have killed this person to go up higher. And once I've done that, oh, I make the roll and I made it. So I get to retain my 5, but I'm a severe, severe conscious issue as I break free.
Right.
We're not done. I break free. I'm still in a frenzy, you know, and who was it that I broke through? You know, probably some other people in the bar who weren't police officers, who weren't trained for combat.
Maybe some teenagers, maybe some, you know, maybe some party girls out having a good time. Maybe a group of guys, you know, in college, you know, who knows? Anybody, could be anybody. The fundamental fact is you have to destroy human beings, you have to destroy lives to keep your own, right? What would drive
survival, hardwired off the bat.
Right, you got it.
And so once you get to the top, I'm now looking at some group of people, red-eyed, yellow-eyed, fangs bared, shirtless, you know, and that's another odd dichotomy. It's you know, a woman is beautiful and it's great, and everyone likes them naked. You know, they're the beautiful of the two sexes. Guys as well can be the same way. However, it goes far beyond the pale when these people are predatory.
Right.
They have fangs, horrid eyes, pale skin, and just radiate feelings of menace.
Right. But they're inhuman.
All chuckling.
Right.
Right. But they're all chuckling. I'm thinking I'm this monster because of what I did. And I break to the surface and they're hooting and hollering that I did well. And then they're telling me hey, we got this guy bound, laying in the ground. Feed. You know, and what happens if I don't feed? This pack's going to pick on you. They're going to push you around. They're going to bully you. Mm-hmm. They're going to try to get a rise out of you, try to get you to frenzy, to beat you until you have to feed.
Right.
And in that, they're engaging your instincts. They're forcing your beast to take over because your confusion allows that frenzy in.
Right.
Which is essentially what it is. You're forced to lose it so that that beast gets more of a hold and maybe you lose some more humanity. And you're going to rip through. You're going to force that first frenzy to rip through what you got to rip through. And odds are you're eating that mortal.
Right.
And when it's done,
well, you're going to have to rationalize it, right?
Somehow.
Right. Right?
And that's going to force you to look back at what your humanity currently is.
Right.
And at that point, pound for pound, you're probably going to have some questions for the storyteller. You know, my humanity, let's say, dropped to a 4 from that, you know, and I got to look at it. I'm a policeman. I have this nature and demeanor. I've had this upstanding character that I originally built. How does it fundamentally change him? How is it now? Killing's acceptable. I'm thinking about my family, and I hope to God these psychos don't have my driver's license.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's okay if I become the monster. That defender in me's there, but they can't know about him. And maybe one of them looks at me and smiles wanly and says, hey, nothing will happen to him, man. We know about family, but you got to produce.
Right.
Are you a killer? You the killer we need? And that stains you on your head, right? We're willing to help you not hurt your family, but you got to be able to help us. So I'm working in a different capacity. That concept is a strong one, and it's a fundamentally alien one,
right,
to a lot of players. Because players are used to the interview with the vampire and Brace Camarilla character, right? To keep that short and sweet. We're all Louis at some point, and we're all looking to spend the ages wallowing in our reluctance to feed and be what we are.
Right.
But in literally a span of an hour, one scene, the Sabbat slams me through most of my morality, forcing me to be this thing because they got news for me. Whatever task they got a bunch of people that are waiting for me to be shoved in the same vehicle to put me on that warpath to prove myself to them.
Right.
And we haven't even, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, in addition to that, you know, we start to like, what is the reason for us to exist? Right. Why do we exist? There is a propaganda. Is there not, that's being fed to these individuals that you need to go do this because whatever, right? Because the elders want to do this, that, and the other. They're feeding you both mayhem and information, but they're just giving you enough to make you a usable tool for the time being, right? Until you prove yourself.
It's really a cult.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's what it is, right? Because I'm going to get pushed into the same, we'll call it a van, and there's going to be like three or four other people in there, probably the pack I'm going to stick with, because one's a single mom who went out partying because she finally got a babysitter for the weekend, was in the same bar I was in. You know, another dude might be a lawyer. Another guy's probably the bartender.
Right.
You know, and they're still them. You're still you, but they probably had to do some similar fucked up shit to be where they're at.
Right.
And you're now being driven by Bruno, the shovel king, who's just been whack-a-moleing everybody in this van, like physically dominant, right? There's no way we can fight these people.
Right.
But, and depending on what personality the other Sabbat guy is going to turn around and start talking to me, talking to all of us, telling us how it's going to be now, you know, avoid sunlight, you know, just giving you the rundown real quick, not even explaining what you are, because they're allowing the duh to set into your brain. At this point, if you need to know what you are, you haven't been paying attention.
Right. To me, the concept of this is the most like panicked, you know, it's like being awoken late at night and being ushered off into, you know, like you always see it in movies, right? Like there's an emergency or there's an evacuation. This is like 10 times worse than that, right? You don't know what's going on. Your senses are hyper keen. You're feeling this hunger. You don't understand. You don't know what's going on. People are shoving things into your hand, pushing you down hallways. You know, you don't know what the hell is going on. And
you might be on cloud nine.
Right. Right.
Super keyed up, feeling better than you ever have.
Right. This could be a great release for you. This could be absolute panic. This could be abject terror. And, you know, all of these things, this could lead to an immediate death. You have no idea, right?
And so we're at to that point to where we're officially templated as Sabbat Vampire at this point.
Right.
Right? Shovel head embrace to be sure, but now we're looking at those virtues. You know, we're recording. We just walked you through making sense of why your humanity gets dinged as Sabbat off the bat. Right. Why it's at a lower portion than anyone else who starts. You know, because your virtues are one less except for courage.
Right.
And those make a lower humanity.
And you're certainly a Sabbat template, but you're not a member of the Sabbat, right?
Not yet. Not yet. And so what's that say? So if we're on our sheet and our skills are there, we now have applied the virtues, those are there. And we got that starting willpower and that courage is all set. We look to our backgrounds and we realize we don't get shit.
Right.
Well, to understand why we don't get shit is because we were stolen out of our life. Right. All control was removed from us. That's the biggest thing to get in the Sabbat. You want to say you have freedom, right? And that's fine. But you start off in servitude.
Right.
You kind of have to earn that freedom.
Right. And that's the big difference between the Camarilla and the Sabbat, is that in most circumstances, the Sabbat is not, they don't have the luxury of being picky about who they embrace, right? They're not, in most circumstances, and of course there's exceptions to every rule, but in most circumstances, they're not out there cultivating potential embracees. They're going with hard and fast, and the cream's going to rise to the top.
So, and in understanding that, let's skip a part that I think we all get. Whatever deed they're going to have you do, the goal is for you to succeed at doing it. Because they're clearly going to do that process as long as it takes to get whatever target they're trying to whittle down, done and dealt with. So for the sake of argument, let's assume you are a part of that.
Right.
And you succeed. We kind of enter into phase two, and that's understanding what the core of the Sabbat roleplay is, right? Because at this point, as a shovelhead, like Nate said already, they're going to give you the doctrine of the Sabbat. Damn the elders, you know, the Cainite war. What's going on? And they're trying to prop you up as heroes in a way. Mm-hmm. That we've chosen you to get this done, and the strongest of you gets to keep that power. Those who don't make it are going to be dead, and it don't matter.
Right.
So might makes right, exert some will and kill this son of a bitch who's in this museum because we're assaulting a Cam stronghold or whatever the situation is. And you go to do that war in confusion, still don't entirely know what goes on. Sometimes you're still even drunk or high based on what it was they plucked you from. And you go in this haze and you come out born again hard is the best way I can put it. Because undoubtedly you're going to see some shit.
Right.
You're going to go in and have to fight using what you know. Most people, it's going to be given into a frenzy.
Right.
To let that take over to help you get the strength you need to get through it. And when it's done, they come back and round you up.
Yeah, obviously. And you're going to have a very difficult time trying to intellectualize what's going on when someone is trying to shoot you with a shotgun. You know, right. And that, I mean, that's a fundamental core of what life in the Sabbat is like when you're first sort of introduced to the sect, right? It's not like, hey, you get to go have like a sit down conversation at an Elysium with someone and debate the finer point. No, there are deputies, there are archons, there are who knows who, and they're trying to kill you, and we're throwing the lot of you at them, right? Sheer
and
numbers,
you're the majority.
Right. Sheer numbers are going to be your advantage, and you're going to learn real quick. Well, I either fight or I die, right? And when you're sort of baptized in fire, it will change your perspective very quickly. You know, fuck intellectualizing what's going on. That's my enemy. I know that right off because they're trying to kill me. Well, clearly they must serve the ancients. Clearly they must serve the propaganda we've been fed.
Right. It's like suddenly there was an alien takeover and they told you vampires were real, you know, but they're not aliens, they're vampires.
Right.
And we had to make you one so that you can fight them so nobody else has to. Right. And what you might even be told, hey man, you're a cop, think of your family.
Right.
It's either you jump here and participate or they get to them and make them what you are now. What's your choice? You know, if you have someone willing to be that logical with you. Usually it's I'm King Shovelhead or King Shovel King, and I'm gonna just whack you in the head so you get it done, or I'm putting you back in the ground. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the Shovelhead, the moral high ground, Mr. King Shovelhead, I don't understand what you're dead. Fuck you. I don't have time.
Anyone
for
else?
Right. Anybody right. else want to ask questions? No. Here's a shotgun. Go.
And you wouldn't believe how often this works. I mean, this process has been used in, I mean, you can look this up. It's actually a cult indoctrination process that has been used in real cults.
Right.
You know, it's, you're in the cult. You drank the drink. You heard the doctrine. We made you do something deplorable. We lowered your humanity. Did you enjoy the orgy? Now that it's done, you know, realizing in the orgy, this was your distant cousin who already joined it. So we're jumping you through a taboo, you know, we'll blackmail or whatever. Unless you go and do this task that we brought you in for. But if you do the task, you come back and you're a member now. This gets you some status amongst us, and this gets you some privileges amongst us. You're by far nowhere near the top, but you just started on the path.
Right.
And that's kind of what they do in the Sabbat, you know? Mm-hmm. You go and do the task, and from Shovelhead, you transition to Neonate when you prove yourself.
Right.
After one fateful night. And odds are, the people in the van didn't make it, but you did, but there were other vans.
right.
And right. From the strongest, you kind of are pulled together and they encourage you to become members. Now, this is that neonate stage. It's like, you know, what's changed? Why am I not a shovelhead anymore? Well, because as a neonate, you learned all those base lessons as a vampire real quick in a night.
Right.
You know, maybe you were shot by a shotgun point blank to the chest or even the face and it didn't kill you. You know, maybe you learned that fire sucks and it's the only thing that you couldn't heal during that encounter, or somebody ran when they saw the flames, you know, and things are settling in. Maybe you were staked. That's possible too. You were staked, hit the ground, and because you survived through it, they come back in and stake and say, buck up, chum, at least you're around.
Right.
Because you did your job. You provided the distraction.
Right. And in the earlier books and most of the Sabbat guides, you know, they talk about and even the Camarillo guides, they talk about the preludes, right? And depending on the game that you're playing, right, your storyteller may be taking you through this entire process. Right. You as a storyteller, you may go, hey, I think my players would really benefit from going through this entire experience. Right. And so you may be going step by step, but you may also be playing in a game where you're established. You're a Sabbat member already. So on one hand, you're either going to get this and you're going to start from ground zero, or you're going to start in a scenario where you're not in ground zero. And do you remember, Bob, when I think it was the original Sabbat guide, they were like, advise your characters to make a couple, or advise your players to make a couple of characters.
Right.
So, you know, even this process, like if you sat down with a storyteller and you were like, we're going to play a Sabbat game, interlude the whole nine yards, chances are you're going to be making a couple of characters because it's not a surefire bet, right? It's not. And if you start as a neonate, you're already assuming like your characters made it through here. You know, this is kind of like you're right. You got it. Right. So you're either going to be playing this and going through the whole experience, and you may not live through this. You know, the officer friendly who was the off duty cop who got shovel headed, his morality and his behavior, it may get him killed. His, you know, upright ideology, his, the way he looks at the world, it may be a detriment. He may get fucked in the deal and he may not make it past the first night. You know, or he may have a different outlook where he's dedicated and he's going to use this to, you know, fight a new criminal, a new enemy, the Camarilla.
You know? For certain. And the thing about this is for this analogy we got going on, this example, you know, you're that officer friendly, just to keep it simple. And you come through and you're going to look at your sheet and go, okay, I'm a full-fledged Sabbat now. I'm a neonate and I'm with a group of people about to form a pack. And we're going to see what that is, but I first got to see, God, how am I role playing now? Did I lose more humanity? If so, where's that at? I got to look at the chart and I got to change again my fundamental ideals of how this guy now sees the world. And I always say this, there are three usual big taboos that you would never do as a human, right? And one of them is murder. That should be the chief amongst them. I hope it is for everybody listening, that you really are uncomfortable unanimously not killing somebody. It's just a hope. You know what I mean? The other big one is, of course, doing something horrible to another person for your own survival. You know, I have to do like whatever. I'll give an example. Rape is usually a big one up there. When would you have to do it as a vampire? Honestly, there's some deplorable shit some members of the Sabbat would force you to do to degrade you further and faster. And a lot of that happens your shovelhead night before you even get back to your pack, because it's a process to whittle you down. The other one would be, and this one I won't say necessarily is a cardinal one, but it's a common one. And it is something about betrayal, right? Would I betray this whole group to flee and find my family and get away from them? And that's a realistic one, right?
Right.
And those three things I always say, I always do for a character, and I encourage people to do with their character to understand, now that I'm here about to join a pack, why wouldn't I take off? I'm not cool with killing people, and I just had to.
Right.
I wouldn't do something deplorable to someone. They forced me to do it. I frenzied. I didn't have a choice, but I still remember I did it. And I hate these people, and I'm going to get away.
Mm-hmm.
That's also Nate's point. I might want to pull out another character, because what do you think they're going to do?
Right.
After all you heard, after everybody's watching, all the freaky shit you saw, you think you're going to make a mad dash and outrun everyone to get to where you got to go? Right. Let's play that out. Let's say you do. You bet your ass they know who you are and where you live.
Right. And let's say you go and you find your family. What are you going to do then? You know, because remember, you're a vampire now. And as much as your emotional state might be, man, I miss my family. I love them. I'll be able to work this out. Your beast sees them as food now.
Right.
You can't
right.
go back. You can't for a long period of time, even if you could get away from a Sabbat.
Think about how you look now. You know, you had full body health, breathing in and out, flush with blood, and you could, you know, maybe a little blood, maybe a little sweat from the night's festivities as a cop. You know, you come walking in, wife sees you, kids want to run up and hug you, you know, dinner's on the stove, you know, don't worry, we'll reheat it, come sit down with it. Whatever happens, that happy moment that you took advantage of every time you came home, you come home now and you're up at the door almost immediately because you can smell your wife in the kitchen. You know it's her. You can hear her heart accelerating as she sees you, and your kids are now moments that you're picking up their movement, and they're not in front of you because your senses are detecting them all over the house. You know, creepily, you may not even approach the front door because one of your kids likes to play hide and go seek or has an imaginary friend they like to talk to, and you never catch where their hiding place is. And maybe you creep up to actually just do something genuinely that you always wish you were able to do. And that's just sharing that moment of what they're doing, what they're really doing. Really, you're traumatizing them because when your beast wants to get up there too, because right. your beast thinks path of least resistance. If this little one who's hiding up in the attic and you sneak in to get there didn't hear you creep up, then this is the food you feed on to not alert the herd. Get your snack on and go. And you got to pray you have the willpower to fight back those urges.
Right.
As you're up there. Which is why most people don't go home.
Right. And a good storyteller is going to make sure you don't.
Right.
Right. Because, right. But because this is a game of personal crisis, of personal horror, right? It's more horrific when your wife, maybe she's a little aggressive about the fact that you haven't been home. What the hell happened to you? Why are you, you know, why are you acting like this? Why are you covered in blood? Oh my God. And then suddenly you only vaguely recall your wife and your children are just drained on the floor. Why? Because your beast just couldn't deal with it, especially after the night you've just had, right? How shitty is that? I'm a cop. I went home. I love my family and I fucking ate them. What am I?
What if a member in that pack that made you, odds are could be, has presence or is a Malkavian or just a good manipulator.
Right.
Knew you'd go here.
Right.
If you ran, they let you run.
Right.
Because it's an example to everyone else. And they have everyone else corralled outside to watch what you do. And when you come out of your frenzy, you didn't know. They implanted the suggestion in your head the entire time. The entire time they wanted you to come back here and they wanted you to see what would happen so you could see who you are.
Right.
And undoubtedly, your humanity's dropped even further. Undoubtedly, you're filled with remorse and whatever. And this pack's going to come in and tell you that they're your family now.
Right.
And they're going to come in and tell you that they won't die and they can't, but you're not human anymore. You never were since we encountered you. And this, we tried to spare you this pain, but you had to see. And where this is your fault, we don't judge you.
Right.
All they are is food.
Holy shit. That is vile, right? That is fucking sinister. That's okay.
Right.
That's, you know, good guy or bad guy. They're all manipulative, evil fucking vampires. And that's the truth of the matter. There's no good guys here. There's no bad guys here. They're all just disgusting, manipulative political ideologies. And you're just another cog in the machine. Freedom or not, you have a purpose. You have, you exist to fulfill a role. And you survived that first step. Now you survived the second step.
And undoubtedly, at this point, too, you know, the pack's going to reconvene over the corpses of your family and your home.
Right.
To try to redo what they tried to do earlier. And while they're there, you're going to get your first taste of actual path RP.
Right.
It is easy to run into one or maybe even majority of a pack who are doing the shovels to make sure that they're the experienced Sabbat spitting doctrine. You know, path of night might be thrown around, someone on, you know, path of beast, or excuse me, not Path of Harmony. What am I thinking of? Feral Heart. Path of the Feral Heart might be there. I mean, any number of paths can be represented in that mix. It's really what the storyteller built that pack to be. But they're all going to preach to you the tenements of the Sabbat through their eyes of the path and even about what you do. And here is where normally experienced veterans, Sabbat members start picking out protégés, people they're going to keep an eye out for. You know, we're going to be in the same areas, you know, we're going to be, you know, whether we're nomads moving around, we'll get to them later, or we're a coven based, we're going to keep an eye on this newly formed pack because that's what's got to be.
Right.
And that's where you're going to get your first taste of having a chance to be on a path and seeing what it is and deciding if it works for you, you know. And when you skip that RP and you just play assumptively and saying, yeah, my guy's on this, it had this mentor, that was my sire, blah, 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 blah. I know you don't understand you're skipping that step because I have yet in 20 years to have a player who understood that that's where their first taste of path was going to be.
Right.
Or that understanding of lowering your humanity, what it was. A lot of people have the misconception that being in the ground is what lowers your humanity so low. You know, no, there's things you do when you come out that are going to lead to the lowering of that.
Right.
And we're just using the stereotype. You know, there's a lot of things that can be done. But the point is, when to be on a path and how to find one. Well, how to find one, we already went over. They're in the room.
Right.
How to be like them. You don't say, hey, man, I want to walk your path. I'm tired of the guilt. That's not how it works. Nine right. times out of 10, they pick you.
Right. You know, I may be, you know, a path of Cain follower, and there's something I see in you that I think would be a value. Right. And so I start to talk to you about Cain. I start to tell you, like, where did we come from? What, you know, why do we exist? What is our past? You know, and start to see, like, hey, does he take to it? Is he understanding it? And you know, if we're still the off-duty cop, you know, maybe this is something that appeals to you, right? Because you understand.
He starved for it.
Right.
He starved for it.
You went to church every Sunday. Like, you understand, you know, the church. You've heard the name Cain before. Oh, that's where we came from? Okay. So this is a reason why I might want to continue to pursue, you know, some of the morality I had in life. You know, it's obviously a different morality. I'm a different thing, but that kind of is, this makes sense, right? Because at the core, you still have the same personality, right? But your personality alters slightly as your humanity changes, but you're still going to go after the same sort of general concepts that you followed in life. Why? Because you have that echo of memory.
And really, your humanity is so low, you're lost at sea.
Right. You're looking for something to grasp onto.
And to that family guy who just ate his family, someone to come along and give an excuse like, hey, man, you're a Cainite. You're a path of Cain adherent. You understand what it is now. Right. Cain's the first murderer and killed someone he loved more than anyone in the world.
Right.
Because God told him, why are you to be so different? And those are conversations to get into, but that is also pouring the Kool-Aid in a cup and offering you a sip.
Right.
Doesn't instantly put you on the path, but that's the guy who wants to spend time talking to you.
Right.
To see if you can live up to the tenements, if you're going to hold. Because not all this, that's not going to happen in a night, but it does put you in his pocket to see that growth.
Right.
And so, and from there, usually you're to find a pack construction, right? There's someone's going to come across and break up the pity party and start talking reality, you know?
Right.
You made it through your crucible. We promised you immortality and power. You five got it, but cream rises to the top. You're the cream. Who amongst you wants to call the shots, be a part of the show, you know? And usually that'll happen in a shovelhead party. Someone's going to be take the label.
Right.
More realistically, I like to think it's going to be out of a Sabbat player mix. One of you is going to be an already experienced Sabbat member.
Right.
You know, you're going to mentor a pack until they get enough under their belt to be considered quote unquote Ancilla so that they can then elect their ductus.
Right. And this provides a really good opportunity for, you know, having a group of mixed, I guess the term would be like mixed powered characters, right? Like,
right. Mixed age.
Right. Right. Mixed age. Like, you know, in especially like in a tabletop game, right? There are plenty of opportunities for dead Sabbat members. That's just the fact of the matter, right? The Sabbat, they burn bright and they die out fast. Right. They're like a really bright sun. And so this is a great opportunity because yeah, there are going to be different power levels. There are going to be different ages and sorry, I was a little squeaky there. but this gives you a very easy transition to go. Yeah. You're kind of young. You haven't had the experiences we have, but you have some value. So jump on in and we'll figure it out together.
Exactly. And what I like about that process is, you know, usually you're gonna be out of character at this point.
Right.
Everybody's got their concept. You're looking at, you know, player to player, who wants to be Ductus, who wants to be Priest. But what if you guys have no clue what that is, you know?
Right.
And ideally, the storyteller's going to lay it out to you. Ductus is the one who, in times of war, handles all this, excuse me, at all times, handles disputes in pack and gives the pack direction of what they're going to do. And as it pertains to the packs day in and day out, night in and night out, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the person that says, hey, we're going to go feed and we're going to go over here because after talking around, we were told this is the place we can go to start out. Oh, okay, we're all going to go there. Let's go. Stick together, blah, blah, blah. And you go handle your business. Or, you know, when the big wigs get together and decide, you know, they need volunteers to go handle a task, your Ductus is the one going to be involved in that conversation.
Right.
On behalf of everyone else. Is he the leader of the pack? Yes.
He's kind of like the pack alpha.
Yeah, you could say that. The difference is that in pack, you can tell him to fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
That's still part of the sabbat. You can tell your Ductus, nah, man, pound sand, I'm not doing it.
Right.
And you're right to be holding to your vernaculum, which we'll get to later, but also that Ductus is well within his rights to, we'll just say, teach a lesson. Right?
Right.
And because if you're going to tell your Ductus, F you, you're actually weakening the pack. That's going to cause a dynamic in the pack, a shift of some sort. And that's inner pack drama, and that's okay. It's even encouraging the sabbat. It's one of the main reasons they have a hard time staying together. And that's often overlooked, but let's face it, if you have some psychopath who jumped up and was made Ductus before you knew what that was, and every decision he's had up to this point has been, we're going to go into the orphanage and feed when we could have went in the old folks' home. You know,
right.
A lot of people can digest that we're feeding and killing old people than we are newborn babies. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's the idea. But if this dude doesn't care and he's on a path of Smokeville, then someone's going to want to replace him. And that gets into sect politics, but you don't have to agree to what goes on. A smart Ductus listens to his pack as well. Because if they don't believe in you, don't support you, what's your title mean?
Spoiler alert, it don't mean shit.
Right. Because let me tell you something. Verniculums are great, but let's say it's a pack of five and, you know, you're that psycho. Well, me and Nate are Mr. Police Officer, and we got another smattering of people in the pack of a similar bent. We decide you don't make it home from a meeting.
Yeah, it's really weird how when we went to go fight those Camarilla baddies, man, the Ductus, we'll remember him always, but he just didn't make it, you know?
Right.
Fire's a bitch.
We're fucked. If anybody finds out.
Right.
But we're also a pack. And if we unanimously agree that you got to go, a smart leader's not even going to ask the question.
Right.
He's just going to go, well, who's your Ductus now?
Right. And truth be told, how often do you think a nomadic pack is going to have any reason to even justify to a bishop, to an archbishop, that there was some leadership changing in their pack? Right. These are things they don't tell you in the book. But you know it. We know it. Everybody knows it. Your baby-eaten, sociopathic fucking disaster area of a Ductus. Hey, we can't survive if this shit keeps up. Well,
hey, it's great. You're a badass. You know that sun service we got from the police who were kicking in a door?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you're the asshole that led a stray corpses right to us?
Right.
Yeah, we lived through it.
Hey,
it's great.
Do you know what we did for you? This week, we decided we're going to travel to Detroit. We're going to travel from Detroit to Indianapolis. And when we get there, we got you your own hotel room because you're such a badass. You have to have your own hotel room. Yeah, we're just going to stay in this other one down the hall. You should have all the amenities. Oh, shit. It looks like housekeeping came real early in the morning and drug you out into the sunlight. That's a motherfucker.
Sucks to be you.
Yeah.
However it works out, the point is, yeah, you're in charge, but you're more like you're diplomatically
right
in charge. Does this mean you have to be a weak Ductus? Not at all. There are plenty of Ductuses who are like, let's just put it this way. Your first pact isn't going to be your last.
No.
It's never how it works out because you're not all there yet, right? We're all just a bunch of neonates deciding who's going to be who. And what about the priest? The priest is where your experienced sabbat member is going to go every time. That's the role because the priest's got to teach you the rites. They got to teach you the rituals the sabbat do, the importance of it. They're going to answer the history of what you are, why you are who you are, more doctrine, more Kool-Aid, everything to keep you going and to make you feel that what you've done is right. Because their job is to keep you at a spiritual high.
Right.
You know, the side of the righteous. And if they can't do that, well, then they're a shitty priest. And guess what? The Ductus is going to replace them.
Right.
And they're going to, you know, put someone in.
Right. All these rituals, they're designed to give a sense of unification to this sect, right? What we've talked about so far, it kind of seems like, you know, just a bunch of angry cats just scratching and clawing to make sure that the other angry cats don't take stuff from them. What makes this different than the Camarilla? The Camarilla has humanity, right? They have tradition. The Sabbat does not. It has rite. It has ritual. It has spiritual enlightenment, as it were. You know, it has things that make it different at its core. The fundamentals are going to be found with your pack priest.
So there's a lot weighing on that priest, but that role is also something that should be coveted. Mm-hmm. Because you're the one who gets to represent the flavor of the pack. You're the one to guide them through humanity loss and to help them keep on keeping on, handling the drama of why is it that I'm suddenly craving the innocence of children's innocence. I harp on that because thirst of innocence is a flaw, and children are the epitome of that. And if it shocks you, I'm doing that on purpose.
Right.
It's not because I'm a sickle, but because that can happen. You know, your humanity can get so low, the beast wants what it wants, and you can get a sweet tooth.
Which is a fucking terrible way to put it, but yes,
yeah,
that is what it is.
But you would call a sweet tooth, you would feel that, the smell and the sensation, but morally, you're still who you are right now listening. You're so repulsed by it, you can't stand it. But you're now playing a dangerous dance with yourself. Eventually, you're going to have that craving for so long. How long before you decide living in the sunlight's better than to continue moving forward?
Right.
So it's the priest's job to catch that, to see that struggle, to come in and help you wean yourself off that path, find an alternate way to get you to enjoy something completely different, you know, to save that part of you, or to help you dive in and through it.
Right.
And still help you maintain what you are. It's only black and white about it. It's only two ways to go. Either you're going to be stronger for going through, or you're going to have the will to resist. But that's it. But sitting on the fence, waiting for that crazy moment, that plays to the beast's hand. And a smart priest knows that, and they need you an upright soldier.
Yeah, I think that a really important aspect of the Sabbat and getting all of this, you know, spiritual stuff out of the way, it's really important that you remember that mentorship is like the biggest way that this information is passed, you know, from pack to pack, from, you know, from Sabbat member to Sabbat member, right? It's all oral tradition. So it's important both as a storyteller and as a player to remember that, like, you are all in this together, and without each other, you don't learn anything. You don't grow. You don't develop as a character. So
at all.
Right. And as a storyteller, it's kind of you should have a role in that too, right? You know, if the player's like, I want to get on a path. Okay. Well, how do we go about doing that in a game context? Well, you need somebody that knows some shit. So also you need to be providing that.
And that actually is an easy read, right? Because if there's a ductus and a priest and the abbot, briefly, the abbot's an actual honored position. When the pack goes and does its rites, its rituals, and its feedings, you're responsible to help clean up or provide. That's what an abbot does. So right. If somebody goes berserk and loses their shit and swims through a McDonald's drive-thru, you're the one to hop out the car to drag their ass back as they're trying to figure out what they did. Pull them in the vehicle to get going. You agree to be a kind of a caretaker for the pack, and everyone in the pack actually does love you for it. It's a position of honor. Probably your abbot's going to be someone who has the quick wit or the jack of all trades, so to speak, of how to handle a situation moment to moment, you know, but doesn't have a lick of leadership skill usually. They're just someone who is good at providing, and that's what they do. And what about the people who don't have a title in the pack? What's the nightlife for them? Well, it's that of a soldier. It's that of participating in the pack, backing up those with title.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing as if you see, you know, any depiction of gangs in movies that you've ever seen. There's a leader, the bulldogs behind them. They're all kind of keeping them safe, mean mugging, whatever they got to do, waiting for the word jump.
Right.
Waiting for the orders of what to do. But they're there supporting morally. They're supporting physically. They're there to give a word about how they feel about something. But most importantly, prop that leader up as untouchable because you make sure he isn't.
Right.
Or she isn't. Or whatever needs to be done, you fill that gap. So you may not have a title, but you're ever more important.
Right.
You know, responsibility is still in your hands. And that's a misconception often taken. Because if you go back to that cop, and let's say you're not chosen in that leadership role, you are a defender by heart.
Right.
That's what you went to do this. You're not, but your whole mentality has been shifted and changed. And so your only gravitation is to this leader and this priest and everyone around you. And you've done this messed up ritual to establish the viniculum. And it's messed up because it's a lot of bleeding into a skull usually, or some form of chalice. And, I really feel we don't have to go over what that ritual is, because we went in depth in three different podcasts over the books. Right, so right. I do feel that, but just in case you're here before, let's just say this is establishing the Valdery.
Right.
It's exactly what it's called. Look it up though, please. Cause I want to stay time relevant.
Right.
And, the point is everybody bleeds in this cup, but that very act is a bonding ritual, because those who bleed the most are usually those in title. Right? Your leader should be the first to bleed the most amount, and nobody should ever go over what the leader puts in. Right? You don't want to bulk the system. You're not trying to be the boss, but you're trying to see how passionate he is and to match that passion.
Man, this sounds an awful lot like a kind of a survival of the fittest situation, Bob. Would you say that that's like accurate?
Yeah, that's absolutely what it is. We're not building. It's a religious war.
Right.
We are not making people we want to sit around and be Bela Lugosi.
Right.
We are making people to bust off through our enemies in the pursuit of religious domination.
Right.
And that's that. And by the way, the sex fucked up, because we're just the young ones. Our backs are what the war machine is built on, but someone else is driving. So we're drinking the Kool-Aid and making that happen. Of course we want the strong. And that's the point. But what else about the rituals does it do? That Valdery makes that viniculum bond us forever in loyalty and whoever participates. And it also makes us unblood bondable by anyone else. No one individual will ever be able to blood bond you after you've partaken of the Valdery.
Right. Of course. Yeah, absolutely. It's creating where there may need to be an artificial bond. You know, maybe that cop, maybe he found the path of honorable accord. Maybe that was more his tempo. Right. But he finds someone who maybe they're on a path that's different than theirs. It doesn't espouse the same values. And maybe he kind of finds it a little morally revolting, right? Well, there's going to be conflict there, right? They're just going to fucking tear each other up because I'm right. I'm going to stand on my virtue, and you're wrong, you know, because you have a different set of morals than I do. However, we do have this ritual that binds us together, that makes us go, yeah, I find you fucking absolutely morally reprehensible, but I understand your position in this sect. I understand why we need you. And while I don't agree with what you do, as long as you're doing it over there, you're not flouting it, you're not, you know, taunting me with it, cool. We're not going to have a problem. When you become a problem, though, we have another ritual that maybe we can talk about that will allow us to put our differences aside permanently.
So let's talk about that, right? Impact conflict. It's going to happen. It's valid, and we'll keep that scenario relevant. We know that's building.
Right.
But let's say people start acting out in pack. Well, what's acting out? I'm going to tell the Ductus he's stupid, his plan sucks, he's a fuck up.
Right. I'm not going to follow what he says. Fuck him. I'm going to challenge him every step of the way. Cause he is a fuck up, right? Maybe that's the case. Maybe he is a fuck up. Maybe he is garbage. And we made a terrible mistake. Maybe I think that other pack, maybe their leadership is fucked. These things will happen. Right.
You guys told me though, when I got into this, it's about my freedom. Right. I have the right to say whatever I want. Well, we didn't tell you that should have been the writing on the wall. I have the right to crush your fucking head too.
Right. That's the,
but I don't agree with you. I can reach, and I have a title,
right?
Which means you're going to decry me like that. Cool. Hold him down.
Right.
And then you get held down and you, wait a minute, we're all in the same pack. Yeah. But you fucked up. You don't cross pack. You don't cross your ductus.
Right.
There's magic words. You have to, there's a way to go about it, but you just didn't do it. Well, what happens to that guy? He's made an example, whether it's a branding or he's gets thrown a beating, or maybe we just cut off his nose so he remembers the lesson.
Right. It's very
permanent. The point is that we're not killing you. We're setting the example, but that example goes for everyone in the pack.
Right.
Right. And you may be thinking, what the fuck, man? Like, I'm owned. This isn't freedom. And it's like, wait a second, Jack. That priest comes along and tells you, we heard what you said. A couple people even agree with you. But we believe in the Sabbat.
Right.
And the Sabbat says those elected in position that are in those titles have earned those titles, and you will toe the company line. You don't have to agree with it, but you will toe it. And if you don't really agree with it so bad, then there's a ritual. But first, you're going to watch this cop and that jagoff on Path of Night kind of hash out their differences tonight. Why? They approached the priest. They told him what's going on. The priest told the Ductus what's about to happen in back. You know, the challenge was issued. They're going to have a monomacy to settle a difference. You know, winner's correct, loser dies.
Right.
Because might makes right in the sect. And that's an accepted ritual. But why is it that I have to go ask permission to fight and do that? Because in a sect like this, where it's a bunch of cats brawling, and we have, you know, basically a very thin way, it's mind control, basically. It's doctrine to hold you in place with a little bit of mysticism. We need to let you vent.
Right.
We need to let that warlike happen, but we also need to let you know what's at stake. And we need everyone to see it. So if we do a public monomacy where others are invited to partake and watch, you get to know how strong our pack is by watching two of ours go at it to resolve a dispute. But also the pack gets to realize there's only one way that I can ever oppose a decision made, and I have the freedom to do so, but I got to prove it in blood.
Right. Right. And fundamentally, it comes down to everybody is free, but those with the power to enforce their point are typically the freer of the bunch. And fundamentally, one thing to bear in mind is that while there is this ideology, this concept of freedom, without some form of very basic rules to follow, it would break down. I mean, the major difference between the quote-unquote anarch movement and the Sabbat is that you have the rituals that bind them together. You have a code that unifies the Sabbat, whereas anarchs don't even necessarily have a consistent set of beliefs, right?
At all.
It's just, I'm an anarch. Okay, well, what does that mean? It means we don't support the Camarilla and we don't support the Sabbat. But outside of that, it's very much like me and my group of friends, we have a belief system, but there's no other unifying code. So the reason why this remains, right, we hang out, we feed together, we go out and we, you know, get some dinner. We all hate the elders, whatever that means, but that's it. There isn't a unifying code. That's why the anarchs can't win, because they're not a sect. They're really not. They're a social movement. But aside from that, they're not anything else but just revolt for the sake of revolt. And
with a few exceptions.
Right, right. And this is up for debate, right? We're not really talking about the anarchs, but that is the major difference, is that there is the ritual and the code that the Sabbat follows. And as long as you remain within those confines, you're going to have conflict, but at least you still have the Sabbat.
But there's other rituals too, right?
Right.
So we know how to resolve a dispute. What's another way to handle that? You don't agree with his path? No problem. You know, smart priest, or we'll just say a pack as a whole. Maybe even the abbot has the idea. Man, let's go blow off some steam.
Right.
Let's go do something where he doesn't get to be Dr. Evil and he doesn't get to be Dudley Do Right.
Right.
Man, let's go fucking play some cops and robbers right now. Let's go to a mall and just have at it. I heard about this game. Cool. So we're all going to get together and we're going to do some bonding. And what the rule is that we go and we abduct some cops and we take their guns. And we take their uniforms, and half of us are the cops, the other half are the robbers. Right. And the robbers are going to go try to rob the bank inside the mall.
Right.
And the rule of thumb is that you can only shoot each other. And no powers. It's bullets only. It's like a fucked up form of laser tag.
Right. And this is just an example of one of the rites that binds your pack, you know, or other packs to the Sabbat. You know, just little games, things that, you know, we personally might find morally reprehensible, but the Sabbat uses that to kind of keep their packs in line.
Because it keeps alienation, right?
Right.
You're going in a mall full of mortals, which people are now been drilled in your head are nothing but food. You are evolved past them. Mm-hmm. They're going to panic. They're going to call real cops to come in and help out, which you need anyway, because you need more ammo. You're not giving clips. You can only get what you get, but you can't kill them. That was a rule, which means you're going to get shot a lot. But this is toughening you guys up. It's forcing you to understand how to react in an escalation, but you're relying on your pack to get through it. Because the entire time you're playing a game.
Right.
And when it gets too much, eventually your duct is going to say game over, and you guys now got to get out of it. And that's yet another part of it. So it's like a multi-layered training session that just feeds the beast of indoctrination and right. unity, because it forces you to rely on one another. And that's the strength of a pack, right? That's the point. Now, with that going on, to jump ahead, two different types of packs, right? You got covens,
right?
And you have nomads. And what a coven is when you're in an official Sabbat city established, like Montreal.
Right.
It's Sabbat. It's a stronghold. It's always going to be Sabbat. Mexico is another example. And now that it's there, any pack that's there, officially part of that group in that area, is considered a coven. They're going to have their own domain. They're going to have their own nightly or own monthly rituals, or whatever they have to come up with locally. They're also going to have their own herd, probably. Way to feed, way to go. And it's almost like it's little mini territories.
Right.
And that's Sabbat City. And they're going to be more similar to you as the Camarilla than not. But here's where they're terrifyingly different. They don't control the city the same. Right. I believe it's Carolina Velez in Montreal, as an example, the Archbishop there. She controls the police through fear, blackmail, blood bonding, and out and out fear. They indicate that they know who she is and what she is. But those who are smart benefit from her power. And, you know, they're corrupt as hell. And that's how it works. And they answer as kind of a brute force squad to cover up breaches and whatnot that happen by the Sabbat and the hide bodies.
Right.
And that's kind of how the Sabbat does things. Whereas the Camarilla would influence a couple cops in the area to handle it, or a police lieutenant, but definitely not the chief. You know, they stay off the radar. You would never really know, but they would get first responders and ways to handle and all that fun stuff and stay off the books. But both practice a form of, you know, preserving the masquerade. And of that, the covens have a mentality of you never shit where you eat.
Right. That's a key thing to keep in mind, too. The Sabbat, they disregard the masquerade and most of the traditions, right? But they don't really.
Like, right.
There is just as much importance in a Sabbat city to maintain the masquerade, even if you're not overtly calling it that, as there is in a non-Sabbat city, right? Subverting the masquerade seems to be more a tool of warfare than it does to be an overt way of being.
Right. And when we're talking about that subversion, a coven's not going to, an archbishop isn't going to say shit to a coven pack that has a feeding night where it's a blood orgy. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, they got to go hide bodies. And some scared guy gets wind of it, calls the cops.
Right.
Well, that's nothing to an archbishop. That's just fucking damage control. That's expected. But what's considered over the line? The nomad packs. A nomadic pack would come in, hear about that blood orgy, crash through the wall, eat their fill, drag someone through the city, and cause a huge fucking stink because it's a good old time.
Right. And that's great if they're going to do it in a Camarilla city, right?
Right.
But if we're trying to maintain the power in our city and we're trying to exist here, that shit ain't going to fly. It ain't going to be cool. We're going to have a sit down.
And those nomads, they're probably going to get a group, and they're not going to get wild hunted. They have the freedom to do it.
Right.
They're Sabbat. They can come and do it, but they're going to learn a very, very violent title, and that's Templar.
Right.
It's going to happen, and, you know, shit's going to have to get paid, or if not, out and out, a couple packs are going to be pissed off their party got crashed, and they're going to go have words, and that conflict's permitted as well.
Right.
And it's just nobody can kill another Sabbat member, not that a special ritual, but lessons will be had. And so in other words, the covens kind of keep the home fires burning. The nomads represent the stereotypical Sabbat highway monsters.
Right. Keep talking, Bob. I got to get pissed.
So with those nomads in mind, your players have to decide what they're going to be. They're either going to be a coven static in an area and maintain the power of the Sabbat, or if they're going to be nomads and continue the war effort and be on the front lines. A nomadic pack is always frontline packs, because no matter what town they go to, they're going to be the ones contacted to go raise hell as first responders into a Camarilla takeover. Or even if it's a city-to-city dispute. This happens as well. In the Sabbat, it's entirely possible that one bishop wants a better area within his own city and uses the packs that agree with his plans to try to subvert another bishop. And at that level, hell yeah, the archbishop's going to support it. You want stronger Sabbat. You want a stronger hold in the city. And if they're willing to have that war, and I know about it, as long as I make sure that war doesn't cost the Sabbat the city, and I can do that, then I'm willing to have it just to make sure that we have the very absolute strongest. Because as one strong member dies, but he wasn't the stronger of the two, it allows those underneath to actually get promoted, to earn their way up. And it supports that doctrine, right? It supports that whole, you can be who you have the strength to be in the Sabbat. And everyone moves up, which is kind of the point. And when you think about it, on that sheet right now for our officer, you know, we did the pack construction. You know, he's not the Duchess, he's not the priest. Let's say he goes with Abbott. And now he has to understand that, okay, I'm backed by this pack. We have our private rituals, which are the Ignoblis Rite, and then we have the Auctoritas Rite, which are the 12 understood, 12 or 14 understood Sabbat-wide rituals that are done annually. And you could read about those, but let's just remember Ignoblis Rite are kind of the local. It's what your pack makes up to make their own, and they set examples of Ignoblis Rite. Then there's actually even personal pack rituals. And of the personal and the Ignoblis, I just want to point out, even Auctoritas, let's just say they're all three, have their version. It's Sabbat hand signals to understand each other on site. You know, typically you can have one for the sect, you know, one that Mexico recognizes from Mexico to Montreal. This is the recognized colonists or the United States, South America, whatever continent, North American continent hand signals. And that's Auctoritas Rite, right? We all like tap under our eye three times and we all know what that is. All right, good. Awesome. That can be fake though.
Right.
So we have an Ignoblis Rite. That's locally. That says in Montreal, we all shake each other's ball sack. we walk up, have a hug, do a reach around, and we tap the ball sack underneath.
Right. Whatever it is.
Whatever it is. That's what we do, and we get a laugh, and we move away, and are like, ah, ha, ha, the French. You know, whatever. I don't know. It's probably not. It's more Canadian anyway, but that, I'm being goofy. But that's, you get the idea. Then you have your actual personal one, and that's the one that your priest sits down and says, hey, it's our pack. We're the Indian burners, and we're going to use the Indian burn as our pack specific signal, you know, grab each other's wrist and twist real hard. So it makes a little friction, and that's it. And as silly as it sounds, it's because I don't want to get too specific, but I'm kind of want you to remember that too.
Right.
Those are all just to establish that you're Sabbat.
Right. And these are all your cues for creativity, right? You make this as a storyteller. This is all up to you. This isn't written down anywhere. There isn't like a fucking Sabbat hand symbol. There is a quote Sabbat hand symbol, but it's not like, it's not agreed upon. It's not in a book, right? That's up for you.
Right.
And it's up for your game and it's up for your players. Right. But note that, you know, things like gang signs or hand symbols, those are consistent within the sect for identification purposes, you know, just for, you know, like, you know, we would do like a handshake, you know, Bob and myself and our group of friends, you know, it was like a normal handshake. And, you know, then we would like do a little weird thing. Like you do it with your friends. The Sabbat does it with packs. Right.
And to understand how powerful it is, look up actual gang symbols. Look at what they do. The internet's your biggest treasure trove to understand the impact and why that's done.
Right.
I find it rather intimidating. Like some of the most notable, MS-13, have some pretty powerful hand symbols that they could do that really kind of strike home who they are. It's taking pride in who you are, like stacking is the style that it's called. And that's where you're doing rival hand symbols. You're doing your gang symbols creatively and as many as you can, and a rival would do the same thing in competition. And the one who fucking loses is the one who can't keep up. And it's a big thing. It's a big to-do, but it's definitely establishing who you are and who you're repping. And that's where that comes from. And there's a lot of pride in what that is and what it stands for, and there should be, right? Because if the mortal gangs are saying blood in, blood out, guess what the Sabbat's saying?
Right.
Right? And it should be, and you should get this, but I'm going to fill in the blank for you. It is, you better know what this is, or you're not Sabbat and you're meat.
Right.
You know, subject to how good the person is and talking their way through it, you know. Because what happens when a Sabbat nomad pack comes out of nowhere, ain't been in the loop for a while, and uses an old hand symbol?
He might get his ass kicked.
Right. He might get a beat down, right. Drunk in front of whoever.
We may want to investigate further, right? You know, where the fuck, who are you from? Where did you come from? What region do you belong to? You know, or, you know, it's worse, you know, could.
No cartons.
Right. You know, could be even worse than that. You know, bottom line is, though, it's up for you and your game and your pack and your storyteller to work all that stuff out. You know, are you going to make it a big issue? Who knows, right? That's up to you. Are you going to just make it as something as simple as, does the symbol Okay. So, you know, right. You know, and I don't think either of those are wrong. It just depends on what kind of game you're playing, what kind of story you're telling, what kind of character you want to play. Right.
And this gets back to the theme of playing Sabbat, right? What works? What right. doesn't? What isn't the Sabbat? And in my opinion, the rituals make a Sabbat pack.
You're right.
I'll say it again. The rituals make a Sabbat pack, because the difference between a pack from a coterie, from an NR gang, has got to be the religious push of those rituals.
Absolutely.
That's how you're going to stand out.
Fundamentally speaking, and it's funny I use the term fundamentally, the Sabbat are very much fundamentalists, right? They are extremists. They are zealots. And at its core, it is a sect on a religious fight. They are exacting, they are pursuing a holy war against their enemy. And at the very base, right, people go, the Sabbat, they're just these bloodthirsty monsters just trying to, you know, just going out and having a good old time and just, you know, fuck tomorrow, live for tonight. Yeah, they can be that, very much. But at its core, this sect is about religious ideology, religious iconography. It is a sect of zealots, of fundies. So you need to make sure that you're including that, or you're losing out on a whole aspect of what the Sabbat is. You know,
exactly.
The Sabbat can be a bunch of bikers, they could be a bunch of gang members, they can be a bunch of whatever, but also they're religious fanatics.
I like to think of them, because I like the term Sabbat because it reminds me of the Sabbath, right?
Right.
And in a witch's Sabbath, you know, a coven, you know, what are they really?
Right.
They're using the occult to pursue whatever their beliefs are.
Right.
You know, pagan beliefs, and that's what they have thrown in. It looks so weird and so odd to people who don't know them, and can be rather frightening as well. And the Sabbat milks that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the difference between an anarch gang and a Sabbat entirely. An anarch gang might be a biker gang, and Sabbat can be a biker gang, but what's the difference? Anarch gangs don't pull off at the road stop, chill out, and go inside, maybe raise a little hell, but ultimately have a good time, maybe feed in a purse or two, and go on their way. No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
A Sabbat group might be pulling in to have a bloodbath.
Right.
You know, they're going to feed, and it's going to be different. They're going to drag everybody there inside of the shower room, hang them up any way they can, or tie them low, as it were, and they're going to take a shower, and then they're going to give praise to the pack and Cain and whoever else, and they're going to start slitting throats and putting blood where it needs to go inside of them and do a ritual, consecrating the whole moment, making a unification thing, and reaffirming their beliefs in the war effort and who they are.
Right.
And then they're going to move on. That tells a way stronger story than the party throw going, you know, and our gang that rolled in.
Yeah, I would say my personal belief is this. If you do not want to actively participate in that ritualistic aspect of this game, if you're turned off by it, if it's not something that you want to focus on or spend time on, then you shouldn't be running the Sabbat as a story, or you shouldn't be playing the Sabbat as a character, right? These are things, right? You absolutely cannot. What makes this sect is that sort of twisted Catholicism that the sect follows. That is more important than any other aspect of this game in regards to the Sabbat, in relation to how the Sabbat should be played. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. But then use them as an enemy and leave it at that. But even then, you're still missing out.
And so that's the fundamentals of how to play a basic Sabbat.
Mm-hmm.
And to know the three levels of it, right? Shovelhead is brand new that night. Neonate is accepting what you are as a vampire, realizing your place in a pack. And Ancilla is, you have your place in your pack, you accept who you are, and rituals are now a common thing.
Right.
And it opens the doors for other things. And where we're not talking like, how do I play an elder in a Sabbat? Where do I go from there? Because that all should fall into place at this point.
Right.
Because everything we've talked about so far in this podcast has built you up to a point to where you should now, I know the line, I know where I came from. Now everything that is new to me, I can digest as a Sabbat right. member and have a distinctive feel from a Camarilla member.
Now, I want to make a statement, and I'm going to make this statement at the end of every one of these podcasts. This is our opinion on how you should play this. This is our opinion on what, based on what we've read, what you can do, right? This is like the paint by numbers of how to play Sabbat. I still adamantly advocate for you to read the material, right?
Yep.
If you want to play it, if you want to know it, if you want to understand it, if this is your hobby and you want to be better at your hobby, get a book, read the book, right? Use this as a guide. We're here for you for that. It was asked for. You want it? Great. Awesome. Also, read the fucking book. That's it. That's all I can say about that.
And one more thing, because it's a crunch point of annoyance for me more than anything, and I do feel it does help you be a better vampire, not just Sabbat, but from a Sabbat perspective. Your discipline spread, because Sabbat start with four dots, right? They get no backgrounds, they start with four dots, and you know they get dinged on the virtues they start with as base characters. Understand that all your power comes from the beast.
Right.
All your disciplines come from the beast. And your beast can commonly belong to a clan, usually does, and that dictates what powers you have. However, you need to spend a lot of time to think of what your character would have need to have done to justify the build. Like, always, always justify to yourself, even if your storyteller doesn't ask you, as to why you're raising a power. But what's an example?
But Bob, I just want to get level 3 Auspex, right? Because I think it's a cool power.
Here's what happens. I agree with you, man. Level 3 Auspex is the shit. It'd be great. But how the hell does our cop in that night make it out of the pit, right? Get hit in the head, whatever. Goes and does the deed of raiding an Elysium or whatever he had to do. Survives that. Comes out. Decides, fucking, I'm running to my family. You know, I got to save my family. Oh, I fucked up. That tragedy hits. And people are talking to him. How, after all that, did he only learn Auspex?
Right.
How did he damn near master Auspex in a span of hours? What sense does that make?
Right.
Do I agree he would have heightened senses? Yeah, brother, put it down.
Right.
Right. But does it make sense that he'd have aura perception? No, it doesn't. So I don't raise the power.
Right.
You know, but what would matter? I had to crawl out of a pit. I bet that was hard to do. But let's say, that I'm a Tortor any Tribute. And speed was a factor. The more I could grab, the sooner I can grab it. I was just able to power through it. My beast needed it, so it made it happen.
Are you trying to advocate for the rational creation of characters and using disciplines?
Yes.
Okay, see, because this is where you lose me, Bob. I mean, rationally creating a character, I mean, that just doesn't make sense to me, right? Like, because
so let me I'm just make
here,
it make sense to you.
I'm just here to play powers, Bob.
here's where I'm gonna make it make sense to everybody listening. If you just shoot for the moon every time you play, you're not playing your concept. You're playing you.
Right.
You're playing you. And you will never survive in the world of darkness because you're not in it.
Right.
Right. You're outside looking in and you're playing a video game at that point. And you're playing numbers. 3 is better than 1 every day of the week. Yeah, it is. If you knew how to use your powers.
Right. And you can play this game as a video game. Right. There's 2 of them. Go buy those. You don't have to do this. You don't have to, like, this is that. That's the fundamental thing that we've tried to impart upon everyone who's ever played this game or listened to our podcasts. This is a game of storytelling. It is not a game of powers and I'm the healer. I need to be in the back shooting those heals at the fucking tank. Like, that's not this. There's a place for that, but it's not here.
And to kind of hammer that, or not hammer it home, but bring it back. I'm just pointing this out. If you rocket to the powers as fast as you can, in terms of getting them as high as you can go, and not as your character experiences them, you're not building on what you know.
Right.
You're going to spend more time in a book, bogged down with what the rules are and what they can do. Miss the nuance of how to use aura perception in the right place at the right time. Not understand Spirit's Touch is awesome as a tracking tool, not just seeing what happened in this moment when the person held this item tool. That there's different ways to use these powers that they don't tell you. They don't do it on purpose because they're so versatile. They are rather versatile. And every storyteller is going to have a different take of how to present them. Every player is going to have a different idea of how the powers are had. And you need that time as storyteller and player to kind of gel and understand those powers as you go up. Hence why I say jump around the progression. Right. However, if you're spending nights where you're just brawling and all it is in your game is you're fighting, I do not fault the cane bro.
Right. No.
I don't fault you. If every night you start, the storyteller's like, another 5 vampire hunters jump through the door, and you're like, cool, I'll roll my 5 fortitude, and it's only been week 2.
Right.
If your storyteller dare looks at you and tells you no, I'll be like, hey, man, I've been shot and stabbed and almost staked more times
right. remember how yesterday I had to jump out the third story window and land on my fucking feet and run from the flamethrower toting hunter you've been sending at us? I don't really think I'm going to be buying an expression. Thank you.
Right. It just matters as to the situation.
Right.
Now, what I promise you is it'll pay you back in dividends in a Sabacc game, especially because if you can tailor your powers to your concept as you come through, it's going to sound weird when I say this, but I promise you every time, 100% of the time, it's going to make sense as you build your character. Right. Sabacc are notorious for having weaker level powers and folks don't know why, but that's because the experiences they go through.
Right.
You know, night to night, they're fundamentally more active in the Sabacc than they ever will be in the Camarilla. And that's why. And I'm done with that soapbox.
Cool. All righty. Well, hopefully you enjoyed this educational and entertaining podcast. Thank you for listening to a very special edition of 25 Years of Vampire the Masquerade, a retrospective podcast. Please visit us at utilitymuffinlabs.com for more Utility Muffin Labs, consistently rated adequate.